It can rightly be said that the cross is the key. The cross, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus is the key to every problem and situation you'll ever face and that you might be in right now. In other words, getting a grasp of what we're talking about today is the key to dealing with everything you've got going on right now in your life. That's how central it is. Now, the key verse is Galatians 2:20. I'm going to read it, and then I want us to repeat it together. It says this: I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. One more time, the first portion. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Ready for this? One more. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Can you repeat that? I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. One more time. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now, the foundation of this verse, before we get started here, comes from Romans 6. And I want to just read for you two verses. Romans is a fantastic book. Read it when you get a chance. But Paul in verse 4 writes this, that we were buried with Christ through baptism into death. In other words, every believer, the moment you came to Christ, you too were crucified with him on the cross. And you were buried with him. And you rose again as a new creation. Baptism is like the Lord's Supper as a sacrament. And that is a symbol or a seal of that event. In other words, that's why every believer is to be baptized. It symbolizes what takes place at the moment you become a Christian. You die. The old you is done. Buried. And then a new you emerges, a resurrected person. That's your position in Christ. That's a theological, positional truth. You are a new creation, a new creature, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You died, you were buried, and you rose again. And it says in verse 6 of chapter 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him. In other words, your flesh, the old person, the old you, yourself died, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. In other words, the power of sin was broken in your life forever as you rose again. So it's like this. Let's say there was a book written about my life. That book ended when I died and became a believer. Pete Scazzaro, the self, died. The book ended. The author finished the book, got, you're dead. Then God began a new book about my life, volume number 2. And this is Pete Scazzaro, the resurrected person in Christ. The old Pete Scazzaro was dead and was buried. Now a new one is resurrected. I'm in volume 2. So if you're a believer today, positionally, you died with Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago. And you've risen again as a new creation. And the old self was crucified, verse 6, has been crucified with him. And therefore, sin no longer has a hold over you. Now, it's like you're an adult. And Paul's saying, why would you live like a child? You're not a child, you're an adult. You were a prisoner, but now you're not. You're free. Why go back and live like you're a prisoner? You were that old person, but that old person died, and you're resurrected. Why are you living like that old person? Now, in Galatians 2, when Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, and the point of Romans 6 is that a door was shut, a book was closed, and baptism was the ultimate sign of that. That old chapter in your life is finished, and now you've resurrected. That is positionally true. The problem is, as someone shared with me this past week, if you could think of an image of your, if we're dead and buried, why is it that our toes are moving from the grave, you know? And we're sticking our arms up. And it still seems to be a lot of self-living out there for people who are supposed to be dead. And the truth is, our experience often is very different from the positional reality. In other words, there's a positional truth. You've died and you've risen. But God wants us to experience that reality. Not just know it in our heads and know it as a position. He wants us by faith to experience that death and resurrection. And when Paul writes in Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You see, it was necessary that Jesus die. He died for your sins and my sins so we could get to God. He bore the judgment for your sin and my sin. On the cross, he shed his blood, and he rose from the dead, and he made a way for us to have a relationship with God. It was necessary for Jesus to die. Best news in the universe. But it's also necessary that you die. It is necessary that you die so that Christ can live through you. But experientially, you need to die. And unless you die and go to the cross, Christ is not going to live through you because yourself will live through you. But there is a death at the cross which we are all to embrace. And see, God's not trying to improve your life. He's not trying to make your life better. He is trying to replace your life. Not improvement, but replacement. Yourself be replaced with Christ. One more time. Yourself is to be replaced with now Christ living through you. In other words, at the very core of your being, it's Christ living his life through you. It's not you. So I want you to say this one more time. I have been crucified with Christ. Can you repeat that? Repeat that. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live. Ready? And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. But Christ lives in me. Got this? I have been crucified with Christ. Again, I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. But Christ lives in me. Now, I recently, as many of you know, I moved, and we bought a handyman special. The house needed a lot of work. Now, in the past, when I would do a venture like that, I would just get in and paint the walls and move on. And that's generally the way I live my life and hope that the rest will take care of itself in time. But as you know, life isn't like that. And I realized, the Lord spoke to me as I was in that process, it took a couple of months, very clearly about the way I've lived my life. And as a husband, as a father, as a Christian, as a pastor building the church, and in every way, that I've generally lived my life in such a way that I don't have to go to the cross. I don't like the cross. I don't like the hard way. I don't like the pain. I don't like the time it takes. And so I generally move into a house and paint over it. Oh, honey, we're having problems? Let's go out for dinner in 2 hours. We'll fix it and move on. You know, things aren't well, and I want a quick fix and move on. Because I don't want to deal with the electricity and the plumbing. It takes too much time. But the problem is when you don't deal with the inner problems, the infrastructure of the house, I found out, it all comes back to you later. It costs more money, a lot more hassle, it's very demoralizing because you didn't deal with it in the beginning when you should have, when you had the opportunity, you painted over it, you moved on, and God said, all right, time to come back. Pull those pipes out. They're all clogged up. Electricity's not working. You got to open up that wall now, run new wire. Because I realized in my life, I don't like the cross. And I realize in the Christian life, we don't like it as people. That's why this last message is so critical. I believe really it's life-changing if you can grab a hold of it by faith and seek to enter into it. You see, God's trying to do something deeper in you and in me and our church. And that deeper thing is that, you know, we're into a lot of things at New Life. We're into the poor, we're into renewal, we're into healing, we're into the gifts of the Spirit, we're into prophecy, you know, or we're into body life, we're into cells, we're into a lot of things. But the core of what we're about is the cross. And we don't jump over the cross to get to those other things. We are about the cross, and everything flows out of the cross. And as you'll see later, when the Corinthian church got into all kinds of other things, Paul says, let me tell you something, guys. It's about the cross. But they didn't want to hear about the cross. They wanted to hear about crowds and signs and wonders and great speakers. They didn't want to talk about the cross. It was too painful. It doesn't raise a lot of money. It doesn't draw big crowds. You won't hear televangelists make this their number one sermon topic. Because it is not the topic we want to talk about. The cross, the shame, the horror, and all of that involves. So today, we're going to talk about the cross. That's why we took the offering before. Because I believe God wants to give us some understanding and then give you faith and hope and understanding of what's going on in your life right now. So with that, let me pray. I'm going to give you 3 points, basically, if you're taking notes and trying to follow, because I'll be all over the place, as usual. The path that God's got us on. Many of you have prayed, God, show me the way. I want to grow in you. Well, God's bringing you on the path. And I want to talk about the path that God has you on. And then secondly, I want to talk about the purpose of the path, the purpose of why, and then the invitation from God to not fight, but to go ahead and go with God. And it's not an easy choice. You don't have to go. You don't have to go with God. You can do it your own way. But it's an invitation from the Lord to go the way of the cross. So let's pray and let's ask the Lord to open up our hearts. This is so heavy, I'll be honest, I barely grasp it. But I'm getting there. And the implications are totally transforming in every relationship you have and everything you do. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I ask that these simple words of Paul, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So Father, when we leave here today, those words will mean something to every one of us. And for those of us who thought we understood it, they would mean even more. So God, set us free from conforming to the world. Set us free from the values of the world. Set us free from the thinking that even so fills the church that's really worldly and not the kingdom of God. And I ask you to give us a revelation that Paul had, that he said, I glory, may I never boast in anything but the cross. That we would glory in the cross, and it would really be a foundation of our lives and our church. And that we would not run around it, but we would go with you to the cross. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give us grace to hear. Okay. Amen. Now, I'm going to throw out some words. The path that God's got you on. God's got you by the hand if you let him grab you, and he's taking you to the cross. I know that's not where you thought you were supposed to go. But God, if you put your hand in God's hand, he's taking you to the cross. Now, here's what that looks like, because it looks differently for each one of us at different times in our lives. Things in our lives start to happen like frustration. Like, you're frustrated. Something in your life is just not happening. It's not breaking forth. And you feel defeated. In fact, you look kind of stupid. And you're trying to do it, but God's trying to get you to absolute dependence on him. Absolute reliance on him. But you're feeling frustrated and defeat. And then you know you're on the path to the cross when you've got these feelings of loneliness. You feel like everybody's abandoned you. See, when you go to the cross, you don't go with anybody else. You go alone. When Jesus went to the cross, he went alone. And your husband, your wife, your best friend, your pastor, your prayer partner, they can't go to the cross with you. You go alone. It's a lonely place. When you feel those places of loneliness, because when God takes you to the cross, it's lonely. And you wonder, where are my friends when I need them? And where is God when I need him? And where is he and what is he doing? Because I don't know what's going on here and why this is happening. But you see, God's trying to teach you to rely on him alone. And God's trying to get you to depend on him alone. And see, that's why when someone's on the cross or on the way to the cross and they're lonely, sometimes we're not supposed to rescue them because God's got them there. Because God's killing something of self there so he can live. And when we rescue people, sometimes we even cut into God's plan for their life. That's why we're not to be rescuers. But often this word of rejection happens on the way to the cross. We feel rejected. You ever felt rejected? By people? Misunderstood? You don't know why. It seems unreasonable. And you're realizing that the love you're not getting that you hoped you would get. And again, you're driven to this love of God, which again you're struggling to get, and there's a feeling of humiliation, which also happens on the path to the cross. Have you ever felt humiliated? Failure? God brings us to failure. No, yeah, he does. God brings us to failure. To where you finally get to the place and you say, you know, I thought I could do a lot. I thought I could do this. I thought I could make this work. I thought I could make this happen. And you realize you can't. And your abilities, you realize, are smaller and smaller and smaller, and you're being reduced less and less and less to what you're able to do with your gifts and your anointing and your power. And you realize, you begin to see yourself as God sees you. And as you know, it's very painful to see yourself as God sees you, as God begins to peel off layers, and you see yourself at the cross for all that you are, and you get horrified, and you want to run away. You don't want to see that. You want to cover over it. And you see, Jesus looked like a failure. From the world's point of view, he was a failure. The disciples left him. Everybody left him. And there he is hanging on a cross. But God leads us in such a way that it looks like we're failing. In the world's eyes, it is failing. It's humiliating. And what happens? We get grieved and we start to mourn. And generally what happens to us when God's taking us to the cross, you know what we do? Rather than rest, what do? We get mad. We get angry. We start blaming people around us. It must be their fault. If you weren't doing this, I wouldn't be in this place. We start blaming everyone close to us. It's all their fault. And it's generally when we start leaving relationships and leaving people, leaving churches, leaving ministry. Get out of here. This can't be God. This is not my God. And we're running all over the place. And then we get rebellious, grumbling against God. We get fed up. And then we feel worthless and inadequate, and we go into total self-pity. Everything's falling apart. And every move you make, it gets worse. And then you get so weary, you say, I give up. I can't handle it anymore. And God says, hallelujah. But you know what I'm talking about? You're so weary. You say, God, I can't even go on another step. I'm dead. You're killing me. And God really says, hallelujah. I can't take much more of this. Hallelujah. You see, there's no other way for the life of Christ to flow through you except that you go to Gethsemane and that you go to the cross. See, we don't Gethsemane is when you're in that place and you're like, oh, God, I... No! And then you're saying, okay, God, not my will, but yours. And that wrestling of okay, God, your will be done. And you're relying on him and him alone, nothing going on around you. And that embracing of the cross. I mean, the path that God's taking you on, friends, is the cross. Because if you don't die, he can't live through you. And so you wonder, what's going on in my life? Where's it all at? Where's it going? He's gently, lovingly taking you to the cross. Step by step, because he loves you. Because positionally, you really did die and you rose again, and now the Lord wants you to experience that. He wants, you see, take your life. The inner core of your life, very often for us, even as believers, is still self. And we got around that inner core things like, you know, church and cells and Bible study and all those other things that we do as Christians, but the truth is, inner core, we really are focused on ourselves. And the Lord says, I don't want to improve yourself. We don't need a better you. We need to replace you with me. Not I, but Christ lives in me. And so God's about replacement of this self. And so to get you there, he's got to take you on the cross. And now here's the great temptation. You don't have to go. And along the way in your life, you can make choices to not go that way. Now, Jesus in Matthew... three times in his life came to major crossroads where he was tempted. And the temptation was the same in every instance. Don't go to the cross. Remember in the wilderness, Satan said in the desert before he even got started, he offered him all the kingdoms of this world. If you'll just bow to me for a minute. No suffering, no cross. Why the pain, Jesus? You can save everybody. I'll give you all the kingdoms. You can have a big church, a mega church, instantly. And no cross, if you just bow to me for a minute. What a temptation. Yeah, I'll take it. I'll do it. But he says, no, away from me, Satan. I will serve the Lord and serve him alone. I'll only live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then Peter, right, his best friend, and he tells the disciples he's gonna die and go to the cross. And Peter says, never, Lord. Never, Lord. You're not going to the cross. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Because Jesus recognizes it's the Satan tempting him to not go the way of the cross. And so his best friend, Peter, his most trusted advisor, the one who knows the most about the Bible, is saying, don't go to the cross. It's funny how the evil one will send people your way. Don't do it. Don't go to the cross. Get out now. People who love you so much will be the ones, and you've got to be aware of the fact they don't want you to die. Who wants to die? What a horrible way to go. Only a crazy person wants to die. I mean, who would choose the crucifixion voluntarily in the early church? I mean, nobody. What a horrible death. The same way for most of us in our flesh, we say, no, I don't want to die. We run. And your friends will say, don't do it. Your fellow believers. I have fellow pastors who say, don't go that way as a church. Go this way. Be glorious, Pete. Super church. No pain. Glorious. Problem is no God either. And remember at the cross, Jesus hanging on the cross? Remember that message about a month ago? Do something, Jesus, come on down. Why hang? Don't hang there. Jesus waits for the Father. He waits for the Father, and he hangs on the cross for the Father's time. Now, listen, friends, it's a horrible way to die. But the path the Lord wants you on is the cross. That's where he's taking you. That's what's going on in your life. And because he wants you to live out Galatians 2:20. And you'll never live out Galatians 2:20 unless you die. But I'm telling you, friends, if you'll let that death work in you and not fight it, if you won't jump out of the tomb with your big S, I'm back. God says, go back down, will you? Then Christ can begin to live through you. And instead of striving, trying to make it happen and be Mr. and Mrs. Successful, you can be free. Just let Christ flow through you in your marriage. How do I love this man? He's driving me nuts. Lord, I want you to live through me, Jesus. I want to affirm, I have been crucified with Christ. And I don't live any longer, but Christ lives in me. Lord, I want you to live through me now at the dinner table. I want you to live through me, Lord, right now at church as I'm sitting there in that pew. Lord, I want you to live through me at work today. Lord, I want you to live through me as I'm on the train. I'm dead. Pete died. Volume 1's closed. I'm a new person. Lord Jesus, and now you're living through me. I want you to live through me, Lord. What are you doing? And so I just want, if Jesus is not doing it and living through me, I don't want to do it either. That's myself. So, Lord, what are you doing? I want you to live through me. So what a place of rest and freedom. That's where Paul was at. I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. What a statement. Okay, that's the path. Now the purpose, I'm kind of already jumped ahead of this, but you know, the purpose is not, again, it's not improvement. God does not want to make your life better. He wants to replace your life. The big difference between the two. Not improvement, but replacement. Lots of us would like to improve a little bit. A little makeup on, a little new clothing. Lord says, no, the self has got to go. And it's got to be a replacement. At the very center core of your being, it's got to be me. Me living and flowing through you in experience. And it's a gift. Now, so let me explain how this works. The way you see yourself then is very different. You see, who am I? My self-perception is I have been crucified with Christ. And I have died, I have been buried, and now I'm a new person. And so this life I now live in the flesh, it's Christ living in me and through me. And so that's who I am. I don't know who you think I am, but that's who I am. That's the truth. And so when people make opinions about me and value statements, it doesn't mean anything. Because God's already, I know who I am. I'm a new person in Christ. And so my relationship with others, my husband, my wife, my friends, my coworkers, it's all different because now it's Christ now living through me. And I just want the life of Jesus to flow through me. See, God wants you to experience that. It's the very life of Jesus, the risen Lord, by the Holy Spirit, just pumping through your body. And that is the place of fruitfulness. That is the place of life. And moreover, if you struggle with sin and passions and habits you can't break, Romans 6 says that old person has been crucified. There's power over sin, man. There's power to live victoriously. The victory is in the death, because then nothing can hold you back. Now go with me to chapter 6, verse 14 for just a second. There's something else that happens at the cross that's very important. Galatians 6, verse 14. Paul says, because I'm crucified with Christ, it's like there's a fence around me. Like, you can imagine like a fence, right? I'm standing here. There's a fence around me and the world. And what the world thinks about life and what's important and what they value, whether it's education or success or culture or prestige or money or numbers or power or reputation, finding my identity in these things, there's that offense. Those things mean nothing to me because I've died. I've died to the world, and the world has died to me. It means nothing to me any longer. The values of the world have been turned upside down. Paul writes in verse 14, chapter 6, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In other words, the values of the world, I got to move up the ladder. I got to get more money. I got to seem important. I got to get this person to like me, their opinion, and all that stuff. All that stuff has died to me at the cross. I died to all that stuff. They're irrelevant to me because of the cross, and I glory in the cross. I'm dead and I've risen, and Christ lives through me. That's all that matters. And I live to please him. I had a friend I was talking with this past week, and he was struggling with intimidation with another Christian and feeling like, oh, I'm second class, and who am I? And look at them. They're big Christian. You know, they know a lot. And I said, no, man, that's the world. You've died to that. It's over. And you're equals in Christ before the cross by the blood of Jesus. You're of infinite value, man. You're a new creation. And Christ is living through you just like he's living through them. And you've got different calls, but he's no more special than you are. No need to feel inferior, man. You're free, man. That's the values of the world. Get free from that stuff. That's died to you. You died to all that stuff. So you know who you are. And, you know, I was with Chris in the Bronx last week, and we're with a young lady, a middle-aged woman, who has a ministry with mentally retarded children. And we were very moved, and the Lord had opened up a door for her to get this facility and really done a great miracle and really given her a facility worth like $1 million. It was amazing. To work with mentally retarded children whom, in her experience, she has one, had been thrown out of churches. A lot of the Pentecostal churches and churches of various churches down in that area of the city. And she had a lot of bad experiences. And God gave her a heart over the years, a lot of suffering for mentally retarded children and their families. They could come to church and be embraced. And tremendous testimony. And the woman, Jesus just oozed out of her. It was just, we were kind of in awe, you know? And God had given her this building worth about $1 million for free. It's amazing. And they were starting a church, and it was wonderful, wonderful, in Spanish. And I realized Jesus just living through her, she could care less about the values of the world. How stupid it looks, or, you know, how's she going to fund this? I mean, God just threw a building on her, you know, and she's just full of peace and the joy of the Lord because she has been crucified with Christ, and it's just Christ living through her. And it was just like an amazing thing just to see and be a part of. It was beautiful. You know what Paul called it? Paul said it was all the world and all the values and all that stuff out there that starts to suck you in. Paul says it's rubbish. I consider them rubbish. Excrements is the word, really. Like a half-decomposed corpse. All the stuff of the values of the world, of prestige and success and money and power and sex and all that stuff and talents and goals and what do people think and my job, my ministry. Paul says, it's all rubbish. It's all poo-poo, you know. It's I consider them rubbish, excrement because of Christ. Because I died. I'm dead. Now Christ lives through me. Then Paul says, I never boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me. Do you know how free you can be, friends, if you'll just die? The way to life is the death. That's the purpose. Die and you'll live. What a life of freedom. And you know what will flow out of you? Christ. The very thing you're praying for. But I don't want to go to the cross. I know. I don't either. But there's no other way. Let me close with this real quickly. I believe as a church, we have the temptation of the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was, Corinth was a lot like New York City, big city, cosmopolitan, third biggest city in the empire. And they had a church of good size and a lot of great things happening in it, but they were kind of proud and arrogant. They had a lot of problems in it, but they weren't into the cross. They were into signs and wonders and big crowds and big meetings and big money and big speakers, Apollos, and everyone had their favorite preacher and, you know, success and all that stuff. And they didn't really didn't want Paul anymore. I mean, who wants Paul? Weakness, death, cross. They basically fired Paul as their apostle because he was into this cross thing. And they found some other apostles that were more spirit-led, at least apparently. You know, guys who can make it happen. Make this thing big. I mean, and so Paul writes them a letter in Corinthians. And, I think a lot of like what the church is about today. I mean, you look at most Christian bookstores, and I believe in, you know, counseling and all that. And, you know, a big focus on psychology and therapy and self-help and improve yourself and self all over the place, you know. And the supermarket Christianity mentality and what markets well? You write books, you know, the question is what markets? If it doesn't sell, they're not going to publish it. I mean, it's a very simple philosophy. And it's marketing thing. So the cross doesn't market real well. Do you understand? The cross, this is not, if I'm on TV trying to raise money, this is not the sermon to preach, okay? This is definitely not it. But Paul writes in chapter 1 of Corinthians, he goes, chapter 1, verse 18, just go to it real quickly. He says, guys, you don't understand. You got to go back to the cross. It's all about the cross. The church is about the cross. Where are you going? The cross is the center of everything. And everything flows out of the cross. Whether anybody with spirit and power, it flows out of the cross. Don't ever skip the cross. And what I fear, as many have written, that we don't talk a lot about the cross. We assume the cross. Because we know about the cross. You know what happens because we assume the cross? We skip the cross. We forget the cross. We hope it goes away. And then, you know what the problem is? God keeps bringing it back. He's bringing circumstances in your life where you're stuck and you fail and you're frustrated and you're defeated and you're humiliated and you can't move and you're on your face. He says, that's not what I'm reading about. God, who, this is supposed to be Satan. God says, no, it's me, you know? It's me. Listen, I'm trying to get your attention. I want you to find me. I want you to find life. I want you to die so I can live through you. Not you, but Christ living in you. There's so much of you living through you. I got to get rid of that so I can come. Friends, what God wants for our church is that Jesus would live through our church. Not you, not me, but Jesus. Well, how is that going to happen? There's got to be a lot of death, friends, in this room. There's a lot of live corpses floating around here. A lot of live bodies. I'm one of them. And the Lord says, you want to grow in me? You want to grow? Let me take your hand. Come on. Come on. Now, you can fight. You can battle. You can complain. You know, and let me tell you something. God's still going to seek to bring you to the cross, to the day of your death. But let me tell you something. God's determined. He will discipline you, and he will get you to the cross. So why fight it? Just say, okay. Amen. Let it be. Lord, and say, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. And willingly just put your hand in his hand. Now, I know, like, you know, when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he says, the message of the cross is foolishness. What I'm preaching such craziness. I mean, this is crazy. The message of the cross is craziness. God crucified. How absurd. Greeks look for wisdom. Jews demand miraculous signs. You know, I want a strong God. Heal my son, I'll believe. I want a wise God, the Greeks said. I want a God who's smart. It just seems so foolish. Paul writes, don't you know the foolishness of God is better than man's wisdom? The weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. What are you boasting in yourself, Corinthian Christian? You think you're something? You gotta die. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. I'm summarizing 1 Corinthians 18 to 29, so I just jumped there. But it's a scandal. Friends, we're talking about something that's a scandal. It's. But when you know when you're boasting about yourself, you're off the cross, you know, because. All right. Let me close with this. As New Life Fellowship, I want to make a statement. We are committed to not deviating from the cross as a church. I don't care about our size, what goes on. We as a church are committed to the cross. The cross is our life. Amen, Pete. Amen, Pete. Amen. Okay. And okay, we want the cross. Galatians 2, verse 20. And the world places values on things that have nothing to do with the cross. Whether it's money or buildings or power or position, education, titles, all that stuff. No, we reject that. We value the cross. And because of the cross, all these things have died to us. We don't despise them, but they don't give us value. Our value is in the fact that Christ lives in us. We're about Jesus. We want Jesus. We want him to live his life in us and through us to those around us. In our families, with our friends, at work, at school, that Christ is flowing through us. And we want to say, yes, Lord, you can put me to death. Yes. Yes, I don't know what's going on, God. I'm confused. But I wait on you, Lord. Yes, it's less of me. It's got to be you because I don't know what's going on. My only hope is you. You know that song, on Christ the solid rock I stand, on all the other ground is sinking sand? Well, let me tell you something. That's the truth. And the Lord wants you to live that truth. All other ground is sinking sand. And you don't realize how much else you're standing on until God takes it away. Then you realize, I was standing on that, wasn't I? On that relationship, and God takes it away. And wow, now I'm standing only on him and him alone. This is scary. But you know something? That's the path for every one of us in this room. So let me close with the invitation. Okay, the invitation is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's the invitation. Not to improve yourself, but to replace yourself. Place of rest, the cross, nothing to achieve, a posture that's just, yes, Lord, you through me. Or you can fight it and resist it, and go your own way. It's a choice you have. A choice we have before us today. What do you want to do? And I'll close with this. You know that inner core, I believe for many of us, is still ourselves. I know we're Christians, you know, we believe in the Lord, but the inner core is still a lot of self in there. It's all wrapped up in God. I know God language, but the inner core is still self. And the Lord says, that's what I'm after. That's what the cross is about. It's about replacing that inner core of self with me. That my life might flow from the depth of your being. The Holy Spirit, rivers of living water will flow from out of you, but it can't as long as you're in the way. So that has got to be replaced in experience. Let me take your hand and bring you to the cross. All right, let's stand and we'll pray. Just close your eyes and maybe open up your hands to the Lord. It's often a helpful expression like this, and you know, kind of up towards heaven, and you're basically inviting God to come and work in your life. And many of you right now are in situations where you feel you realize that you are on the path to the cross. Some of you are on the cross. Some of you, it's like God's bringing you that way, and everything in your being is crying out, saying, no, no, I don't want to die. And the Lord hit you today. God brought this message to you today. To stop fighting. To come to God. Let God in. Let God kill that self. Let it be your experience now, the burial, the real burial of you. That the resurrected Jesus can flow out of you. Life. People say, what happened? Happened to Hudson Taylor. He called it the exchanged life. He was a missionary in China. What? His whole life was exchanged. He knew it in his head, but then he experienced it. Became a different person. What an invitation today. Become a different person. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus for you to just now hover over us. Up on that balcony on the first floor. Just rest on this room. Rest on every individual, Lord. And let this word now go deep into the hearts of that inner core where maybe there's still a lot of self. And Lord, we invite you to replace that self experientially, truly, by the Holy Spirit, with the life of Jesus, with Christ. Say, Lord, I invite you, Lord. Do whatever you need to do, but I want Jesus to flow in and through me. I want to say, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I just want to be a vessel of the Lord. That was live.